Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another week of Do Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I am here today with Nadia Pujarwa. She is the founder and CEO of Dia & Co. You know them. They make clothes exclusively from sizes 10 to 32, right, Nadia?
That is right.
And you started it because you were having a hard time finding clothes in your size, finding cute, sexy, fun clothes in your size. And we talk a lot about size and inclusivity and fashion shopping here on G Thanks. And I'm really excited to have you and to have everyone listening meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm a big fan of Dia & Co. Especially because I've always teetered between 12 and 16. And so to have any sort of woman in business, like looking out for me specifically, I really appreciate that. Do you remember like the final straw time of not being able to find something in your size or clicking XL on the size and finding out that it's a 10 or an 8 and like being like, who is that? What is this?
Honestly, like this started in my life so early. I was a plus size teen and like I've always loved style. I've always loved fashion. I've always, because I was always shopping. So I've been probably everything from a size 8 to a size 22, 24. Mm-hmm. And I have always had like this very clear idea of what I wanted to wear and then prided myself on my like ingenuity and scavenger hunt skills and figuring out exactly how to piece it together from the most unfriendly, you know, shopping environment that you could imagine. Or I'm talking like early 2000s, right? Like the world has advanced pretty meaningfully. Yeah. A fashion-minded teenager, you know, in the early 2000s was a lonely person, I'll tell you that. So I think that these experiences have always been, you know, kind of core to who I am, but honestly, like I never talked about them. Mm. Like I was embarrassed by this. Like I thought, I want people to think that it's easy for me to find these clothes. Right. I don't want it to seem like, you know, I deserve an award for my shopping skills. But I think that like the moments when this hurts the most, I think, is when you have special occasions. Mm-hmm. And when there's like an event coming up that you know you want to look and feel your best for, there are going to be a lot of photos at, like all these things where you think like, oh God, like I need to find something that I look amazing in, because if not, the memory of this event that's supposed to be really happy is going to be, you know, like tainted by the fact that I don't want to see any of the pictures. I don't want to know what I look like. I'm not going to feel good about it. And it's so terrible. And so I think that there are like so many of those moments where that happened. But I've always like, because I, you know, I never had a career in retail before I started this company. So really, this is not like an industry that I've ever been on the inside of. But I felt like because I had always shopped in a larger body, I was like excellent at shopping for my skinny friends. Like I was like, you know, I can find anything. Like, tell me what your budget is. I know exactly where to find it. Mm-hmm. I was like a hobbyist. And I thought, man, like, what would the world be like if I could shop in these sizes?
Right.
Like, what if I had this much selection? What if I had this many choices? What if I could actually walk in and not just look at the accessories in the store?
Right.
And that's really where it came from. And so like at the heart of Dia is really access. And that kind of drives everything that we do. We make our own clothes. We have a lot of brands that we've developed over time, really in response to what our customers want and need most from us. But we also work with basically every brand in the landscape.
We've come so far in the last 20 years, yeah. And you actually probably, yeah. Your door is probably being knocked down by brands being like, we want to get into plus. Because there's a lot of pressure now because people like you, I know, like we've had Katie Sereno on the show. She's been really big in like, you know, literally just going into dressing rooms and being like, hey, like Aritzia is a big offender of this. Like, why is it that this is your XXL, but it's like, you know, a 10-12. Make clothes for me. And I think that you're seeing like women like you who are now, you know, realize that like, you know, they have a voice in this space to be like, because what you're saying really resonates with me in that when I was younger, it was sort of the same. Like when you're a size 12 and you're in high school, that feels crazy. Cause like so many of my friends were like still looking like children. You know what I mean? Like I had a butt and I had boobs or whatever. But like my mindset didn't go to, oh, what if they made the same clothes that they're wearing in my size? My mind went to, I wonder how I could make myself their size so I could wear their clothes. Or like this, they don't make this for me because I don't look good in it. And that's why they're not letting me have it. And it really, you kind of start internalizing that. And I feel like in the last 5, 6, 7 years, especially, there's been this whole movement, or maybe it's because I've found people on Instagram I'd rather follow who like look more like me, who get dressed every day and look incredible. But it just feels like, I don't know, to be in a bigger body as a young teenage girl today, there's so much more you can look at now. And we didn't have that in the early 2000s and the late 90s.
It's so wonderful. Like, I really think that there's a generation of women coming up now that are not going to have anywhere near, you know, the complexes that women in our generation, and even in a more dramatic way, our mothers had around, you know, body image and self-acceptance. And it's thank God.
Like, truly, like,
right. Hallelujah. Right. And I think we all play a part in driving that conversation forward. In the last few years, we've seen a massive, massive increase in people getting on the bandwagon of inclusivity. Mm. And I don't mean to say that in a way that's disparaging. Like I truly think that every brand that extends their size is a win for our community. So I'm all for it. I think what happened though is that probably like hit a crescendo in February 2020 and has come dramatically down in the pandemic. Like the number of brands that have either publicly or quietly pulled back on their extended size offerings, I think is just now really starting to be understood. And I think it's something we should be watching more closely because so much progress was made. And I think that there's a risk that a lot of it, we have to give a lot of it back, which, you know, I think would just truly be heartbreaking.
Can you say more on that? I know Loft discontinued their plus size line. Is that right? Which really sucked because Loft was also one of those places when I was, you know, newly in corporate America, like I could find cute casual work clothes. And I was always teetering between the straight sizes. And they were one of the stores that literally had size 12s, 14s, 16s in the store that you could try on. It wasn't like, please leave our store and order them online where no one can see you doing it. I was really disappointed in that.
I was
news.
So surprised by that. I really was, because they also, they made such a big splash.
Yeah.
And they also, I think personally announced that news in the worst possible way. Like they basically got called out for the fact that there was no longer product. And they, I don't know how closely you followed this, but they effectively announced that they were closing that part of the business in a comment response to somebody on Instagram, like not even as like a standalone announcement.
You know what? I didn't know that. That's wild.
It's just wild. Like, I think that it's, you know, I think that the industry wonders why plus size women don't just like hand over their cash like once you know, a single style is available in a larger size. And part of it is like, kind of need to earn our business, right? You need to earn our trust. 100%. You need to earn it. And I think that as a community, we've just been burned so many times with brands, you know, making the big PR splash around saying,
yeah,
this is important to us. It's, you know, it's core to who we are as a brand. And then not always, but too many times kind of secret, like quietly trying to like back away from that.
Yep.
When things don't go exactly as planned.
I mean, we have big butts. You know, we're not stupid. I mean, like, that's really the thing. I am not an idiot. I just have a huge ass. I should get that tattooed above my butt.
It's a good one.
But it's really true. And like, you know, we talked about this with Alexandra Waldman, who is the founder of Universal Standard. We talk about it with Katie Sereno, yeah, who's really made like a big splash of calling brands, which she says calling brands in. You know, money is money, and people can tell when they're being tokenized. You know, I think we saw that a lot last summer with Black Lives Matter. Like, all of a sudden, all these brands were like, oh, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Oh, for sure. We totally, yes, we believe that. And what I appreciated about it was, like, you'd see all these employees coming out and being like, you don't believe that? Like, this is just a really cute graphic that you whipped up for Instagram, and I have, like, receipts that say you don't believe this. It's kind of the same for plus size, where, like, you can't just make one size 16 dress. And like you said, complain that people aren't, that the size 16s, first of all, size 16 is on the small end of plus size, you know, plus size goes up, and the higher you go, the harder it is to find anything cute. And you'll hear all these excuses like, you know, the expense, we don't know if there's the market, that's not really our target. Now, if someone who founded and owns a company that creates and sells clothes, not just including plus size, but literally starts at size 10 and goes to size 32, is there any truth to the like multitude of excuses that brands make about why plus size is so, big air quotes, difficult to sort of include in their brand offering?
I think that the problem is that because the market, like factually speaking, like just like purely if you look at the numbers,
yeah,
is so dramatically underserved. Like there's so many women in this category. We have to say that there are 100 million adult women who wear size 10 or above, right?
Yeah.
That is like 70% of the adult female population
in
this country.
So crazy.
I think that like what happens is that these brands think that it's going to be easy, right? And so it's like the first time that there's anything that's not like money just being handed over, they're like, oh, wait. Like, it's going to be hard? Like, how hard is this going to be?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like, if you want to make a great product and you want to create a great experience, it's going to take work. It's going to take investment. It's going to take, like, commitment. And I think that it's, like in a lot of ways, I think it's that like, there just like, isn't the resilience to the speed bumps. And there are speed bumps in building any business. Like anybody under the planet who's ever tried to build a business will tell you, it doesn't matter what you're selling. It's hard.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have to build awareness around your brand. You, especially for a lot of these brands that have never been in plus, there is like an even harder hurdle, because it's not that plus size women don't know that those brands exist. Obviously, we know that every brand exists. We follow the same bloggers on Instagram and walk through the same malls. Mm-hmm. It's that we actually believe they don't serve us, right? Yes. And so it's like having to go back and say like, hey, forget everything we've ever done. Now we serve you is almost like a higher burden of marketing in some ways.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I'd rather get like a colonoscopy than like go try on jeans in a store that I don't think has any jeans for me. Why would I put myself through that? Therapy is expensive. I already have stuff to talk about in therapy. We don't need to add, you know, I put on jeans. And also because jeans are like, oh, I wear a 16 in this brand. I wear 29 in that brand. This brand, I wear something called like the Star. This brand, like, it's like, I don't know. Like every store I walk into, it's like a clean slate again. I have to figure out what clothes fit. Yeah. You're right. And what do you make of like a brand like Abercrombie? Do you know Abercrombie is now like really serving like they make, I think they go up to 33 in jeans, which like is not, it's like a 14, 16, but like Abercrombie was the brand that told me when I was 13 that I had to be eating like one grape and a cheese cube a day. And then I too could go shirtless in the dark store in the mall. Right. And I still can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Why do you think they've committed to that, this new thing?
I mean, I think that everybody, I think that there's two things. I think that societal norms and our expectations of brands have changed. And that's like the greatest accomplishment that we should all be proud of, right? I think that the things that, the degree and the types of expectations that we have of brands in terms of how brands map to our own personal values and our values as a society is like a fairly new phenomenon.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is something that, you know, social media has really brought about in 2020, accelerated in a dramatic way. But I think that, you know, brands realize that they have to be able to express their values if they're going to be a brand that is going to have the kind of, you know, love and fandom that brands need to be successful, right? Because nobody wants to compete on just price or just anything else because, you know, larger, more efficient companies will like eat your lunch every time if that's what you're competing on. And so, you know, they need to represent something bigger and size inclusivity. If you are a fashion company, size inclusivity is like the single most important form of inclusivity that you can be a part of, right? Because your product is what is otherwise creating the exclusivity.
Yes.
And so like every single retailer needs to have a stance on size inclusivity. And I think it's okay for retailers to say, look, this hasn't been a part of our business in the past. It is important to us and we will get to it when we can do it right in X, Y, and Z timeframe. Like, I think that that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't think that, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of businesses are going through difficult times, and retail as an industry hasn't been an industry that's had a lot of, you know, big winners in a long time, right? Like retail, store-based retailing, all these categories have been categories that have been under pressure for a long time. And
that's so, right.
You know, sure, I get that. Like, you know, just let us know how you really feel about it. And eventually, follow up that talk with action. And then I think it's okay. But I think that, you know, I honestly don't think that brands can be anti-size inclusivity anymore.
I mean, you
like,
can't.
It just feels like a crazy thing, which by the way, I couldn't have dreamed of being able to make that statement 5 years ago, right? Like 5 years ago, we lived in a different world.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a world where it was truly still radical to be able to shop anywhere other than Tora Girling Bryant.
Yeah.
And like, that's cool. I just think that like sometimes like actually pausing to realize how much progress there's been is something we don't do enough of.
Yeah.
And the world has changed.
Yeah.
And I feel like we should be really proud of that.
I totally agree with you. I want to say that adding on to your statement, I think it also has to come from an authentic place. Like something that Alexandra Waldman said when she was on the show was that for so long and for so long, and she's a little bit older than you and I think you and I are like around the same age. It was like, just put a picture of a dolphin on like a huge t-shirt. And like, that's what you get if you're 3XL, like that's what you can find. And that's not being size inclusive. That's putting a dolphin on a t-shirt and being like, we carry up to 3XL. Like it has to come from an authentic place. And what I think is so exciting about this new generation of women, which makes me feel very old as like a 34-year-old millennial, is that we are no longer the kids. You know what I mean? Like we're no longer the young ones. And also we're no longer who companies are like we're done. They don't care about our money anymore. They're going after younger money. And the younger generation is so much savvier and they shop with their values, like in a way that I never did until I was in my 30s, probably. Like they really like spend 2 hours on TikTok and you're like, oh my gosh, like these 21-year-old women have such a better sense of the world, their place in it, and how they want to change it than I do 15 years older. And I think it's like, yeah. And in terms of just appreciating how far we've come, I recently got into Good American Jeans, which is the Khloe Kardashian jean company.
Love Good American.
Holy shit. Like to order a pair of jeans in a size, like I did, like, you know, sometimes I'll do like the 14, 16, 18 trio, and then like depending on the amount of stretch, the whatever, like one of them will probably fit. For that to have been true on like six different types of good, like I could have cried because the amount of time and brain space I could have gotten back at 24 if I was just able to order a really cute, sexy pair of jeans from a sexy celebrity, you know, a Khloe Kardashian type, which is not important to me now, but maybe would have been 10 years ago. And just put them on and then go about, like, what else could I have done with my brain that I instead then spent so much time being like, I can't wear shorts. I can't find these. I mean, it's just another way I think that the, and also men don't have to think about this stuff nearly as much. They literally get stores that are called Big and Tall. Like they literally have like their own store in the mall called Big and Tall.
You know, like that's also like a very interesting thing. Do you know that like one of the best selling brands at JCPenney is a brand that is, it's a collaboration with Michael Strahan. And it's like the Big and Tall line. And like the irony of the fact that like Big and Tall for men is Michael Strahan, like just like image of like athleticism and like strength and power.
Yeah.
And then you put that in the female context and it's like the basement at Macy's.
Yep.
Is just like such a, it's really, it's just cruel. I love the fact that that's like how, like, I don't want to take away from the men's experience. Great. I just think that like it's like such a clear illustration to me of how much society has decided.
Yes. Men are supposed to be
how women should feel in bodies.
Yeah. And men are supposed to be strong and tall and powerful and towering and a presence. And women are supposed to be tiny and small and really small and even smaller than that. And like just a little bit smaller. And like, yeah, we're not supposed to take up space. Even the way that I notice myself posing in pictures sometimes, I'm like, what? Why am I standing like that? Like, where did I learn to like stand in such a way that I'm like contorting my body so that I don't know what I'm looking for when I look back at that picture? I found wedding dress shopping to be really stressful. Especially because I was a size like 14, 16 in what the wedding industry will call street clothes, which means I was a size 177 in a wedding dress. The math really checks out. And it's like, I know that I'm average. My size is average in the plus size, mid size world. And the fact that I couldn't with my money, which I was excited to spend on a wedding dress, go into a store and even try on, you know, the big thing they tell you is like, try on all the dresses you can find, even the ones that you think aren't your style, because more often than not, something you think you would never wear ends up being like the dress of your dreams. I was so pumped. I would have spent 6 years at the wedding dress store trying on every single thing that they owned. And more often, we only have that in like sample size. How many size zero women are coming in here to try? Like that can't, do you want my money? I have cash. I have cold hard cash and a credit limit from Chase. Like, do you want this? Is this important to you? And just thinking about all of the all of the beautiful women excited to try on wedding dresses who are bigger than me. And being like, that's one industry I also think we gotta, there has to be some sort of change, because
totally.
I'm also a sucker. Like, I could have been upsold. They lost a lot of money on me, you know, like that, like, big mistake, huge. Like, they really
did.
Have
you ever heard of Anomaly?
Oh, I did Anomaly. That's where my wedding dress was from.
Oh, awesome.
Do you know
them? I love Anomaly. I know the founder well.
Leslie?
Well, we share investors. So I do.
Amazing.
I know the founder from the founder world. And I think that, first of all, like, I love their Instagram, because their Instagram is such a, just a window into like the diversity of brides that I feel like you never see.
And just,
like, I've never seen more diverse brides than on their Instagram pages. It's just awesome.
It's crazy. It's just, so you guys know, if you don't know Anomaly, which is where I used, which is where I got my wedding dress. It is a startup started by a woman named Leslie, who, basically, like, and Nadia, correct me if I'm wrong, she kind of like cuts out the middleman. She works with companies or like kind of like seamstresses in China. They work directly, like ethical, fair wage, like living wage, good working conditions, like everything's great. And they let you design your own dress. And you don't need to be a designer. Trust me. I am not, and I loved my wedding dress. It's more like, hey, they basically are like, make a Pinterest board of like every wedding dress you've ever seen that you're like, oh my gosh, I love this, and we will send you to a tailor, get your specific measurements, and we will create a dress for you that is like a tenth of the cost and actually fits you and actually is something that you want to wear. And I felt so great during that process. Because they could have done anything for me. I could have gone in like a Princess Di replica. And it's not a like, hey, bring us a designer dress and we'll copy it. It's like, hey, we know there are really limited options for all of you who aren't a size 2. So if you've ever seen a mermaid dress or a trumpet dress, or you wanted, I had sequined, I had a gold and white fully floor, like long sleeve sequin dress. The only one I could find in a wedding studio was definitely not my size and about $15,000. And they created something that I loved. And it was just, it was like, this should be like the standard.
It's awesome. And I think that the cost thing is really important, because I feel like, as somebody who's watched way too many episodes of Say Yes to the Dress on TLC, like, I feel like you hear like custom and you think this is like a $25,000 Panini Charmaine dress, and this is like not it at all.
Totally,
it's like
the opposite.
It's actually like it's like affordable, which is so awesome.
I loved my wedding dress. And my only regret is that I had to, and it's not Anomaly's fault at all, it's everyone else's fault, is that I would have loved I went to these bridal studios hoping to try on every single type of dress I could find, so I could go back to Anomaly and say, like, this is what I like. And because that wasn't possible, I sort of had to just go buy what I thought I wanted, which they made very easy for me. But I sort of felt robbed of that experience a little bit, you know?
It's funny stat for you on bathing suits.
Yes.
You said that you'd prefer to get a colonoscopy than shop for jeans.
Yes.
Bathing suits are like actually the single category that people hate shopping for the most.
That's so interesting.
We did a survey of like thousands of our customers. We just launched swim.
Yeah.
Like in March. So this is like a new category for us. And I'm not kidding you, 43% of women who we surveyed said that they'd rather go to root canal than try on a bathing suit.
Wow.
Oh, root canal. Like literally like the single most, right, for me at least.
I would not. Experience. Yeah. No, I don't like root canals.
But, you know,
that makes me sad.
That's literally how bad it is. Well, it's like, it's such a vulnerable moment. Like,
it is.
Imagine how uncomfortable it is to wear clothes that you don't love. And then imagine going out in your bra and underwear effectively in front of the same people.
You're right.
Like, it's like such a moment of vulnerability that we spent a lot of time making sure that we got the swim assortment right, because it shouldn't be. Right. Like, bathing suits should be about the beach and fun and family and the sun. And I think it's like a uniquely mean thing for bathing suits not to be a fun shopping source and for them not to be cute.
Yeah.
And there are actually awesome bathing suit brands in the world. All of the brands that we brought on for launch were founded by women. A lot of them were like literally single woman operations. Nomads is started by a woman named Taylor Wong, who graduated from college in 2019.
No
and
way.
Is, yeah.
That was like 5 minutes and ago. Is,
I know. I know. I interviewed her recently for like my Instagram live series.
Uh-huh.
And I was so embarrassed. She was like 2019. I was like, wow, last year? And she was like, no, it's 2021. And I was like, oh shit.
You're like, my point being you're seven.
Like like basically like pre-COVID means like yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like all of COVID doesn't count.
That is amazing.
Isn't it? It's amazing.
I
is she really? It's a really inspiring story.
I love that suit so much. It's so cute. I'm not weird about bathing suits. Weird. I guess bathing suits aren't my thing. My thing really is jeans. But like if a woman, I know the feeling. So regardless of what kind of clothing item you're trying on, it is a dehumanizing process to not be able to. Bathing suits for me, I feel like, okay, well, it's stretchy. So at least I can get it on. You know what I mean? The thing about jeans is sometimes you're like, yeah, this is my size. And then all of a sudden you're like fighting with the pant leg. Like it, like for me, I'm like, why is it so, like, these are pants. It's right. Pants.
Yeah.
It's pants. For bathing suits, I totally get it also. It's everything because everything is telling you, everyone up until so recently has said, if you want to wear X, you need to look like Y. And right. We never really thought, well, why don't you change X instead of us changing Y? And that's radical. Yeah. Like,
that was our first ever brand campaign. Idea was a brand campaign called My Body First.
Yeah.
And it actually looked at like the history of sizing in apparel. And sizing is like a fairly new phenomenon in the history of fashion, right? Like standardized sizing only started really around World War I. Like the first time that clothing had to be produced in mass and therefore standardized in some way.
Yeah.
And it was done based on like the measurements of 100 men. Right. Like it's like the most random done by like the U.S. Department of Agriculture or something random like that. And
my fashion
like,
icons, when you're like, the U.S. Department like, of Agriculture.
And sometimes like, I think it's like so liberating to understand how bogus these things are.
Yes.
Because for so many of us, these numbers are like tattooed on our foreheads.
Yes.
Right. Like it's like this dreaded number that you wish was something different and you just wish you could be something different. At the end of the day, like this is all make-believe.
Yeah.
This is all something that was created less than 100 years ago.
Yes.
And means nothing.
Yes.
And really being able to have the perspective shift of saying, it is not my clothes that needs, it's not my body that needs to fit into these clothes.
Yes.
It is the clothes that need to fit on my body.
Yes.
And the fact that like that is not the standard mindset is like really shocking when you say it out loud, because
yeah.
Like once you say it out loud, once you're like, oh yeah, like that makes sense.
100%.
But it's just like not how we're conditioned.
No, I mean, that was a big thing. I mean, BMI. BMI is a fake number that was based on, I think, like the European.
Like MetLife,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
And then, but like you had like the Dr. Phils and the Oprahs of the world in 1997. Being like, I still remember my pediatrician saying something like, for every inch over 5 feet that you are, it's 5 pounds over 100. So if you're 5'8", like I am, you should weigh 100 and, let me do some math, 140 pounds. Is that right? 140 pounds? That's just,
yeah, that's crazy.
If I weighed 140 pounds, people would be concerned, I think, for me.
Yeah.
I would look insane. Yeah. That's not how my body is built. The human head weighs 8 pounds. My human butt weighs 50. And it's
no,
just
right. Like BMI was so I feel like the pandemic brought BMI into focus
yes.
in like a really big way, because as a risk factor and then ultimately as a way to get a vaccine. Like I got a vaccine in New York City in February because my BMI qualified me to do that.
Same in
which I have a lot of mixed feelings on.
The only benefit that fake number has ever gotten us. But yeah, I mean, there's no health health at every size, that whole movement, that's all brand new too. Like
yeah.
You can be really, really thin and have horrible cholesterol. I know it's right. crazy for people to believe, not anyone listening here, but I think like the medical world, people have always just associated skinny with healthy. And I think people, like you said, like size was just like invented, you know, 100 years ago. The idea of health is inherently racist and inherently mm-hmm. flawed. And I think people are, and I think medical professionals are just starting to understand like the basis in which we, you know, diagnose and discuss is built on a foundation of many untruths. And for yeah. all of that to boil down to like picking out a swimsuit and look, and my whole life has been like, okay, do they have the largest size? And like hoping that the largest size is my size. Like it sucks. Like that's a trickle down effect that I yeah. think people really don't get. But you're really, I mean, all of this to say, Dia & Co made a bathing suit that I am going to be living in for the next week. And I appreciate that. And like, that's one small step. That's one.
I am so happy to hear that. There's another brand that we have that I absolutely love. It's called Kitty and Vibe.
Uh-huh.
And Kitty refers to your butt.
Yeah.
Because she makes every bathing suit for like a small butt and a big butt. Because
nice.
She feels like that's like the dimension of fit that bathing suits gets wrong. And then Vibe.
Oh, I'm looking right now at their site. How painful it is. So cute.
Yeah, she has a playlist that goes with every bathing suit. So you set the right vibe.
I love that.
For your bathing suit. And like the entire thing is like genius. And this is also like a solo founder. I think she's like 26 years old in New York City.
See,
like,
this is.
They're just women doing incredible things.
Yeah. I believe that children are the future. And yeah, if you're 26, to me, you are a child. Congratulations. Like, and I don't say that disparagingly. I say that with jealousy in my heart. That is amazing. Yeah, I'm looking at so I leave on vacation in 4 days and I'm like, how soon could I rush order one of these suits to my house? These are cute. And I love that like high-waisted is back and that low-rise, everyone says low-rise jeans are coming back, not in my closet. Like the higher the jeans, the closer.
The better.
To God.
Success for me is literally like my waistband hitting my bra.
Yes.
Like how little space can yeah. there be between these two garments?
Totally. I mean, I know I've said this before on the show. Stella Bugsby, who used to be the editor at The Cut, said something super that stuck with me a few years ago, which was there was a few tweets that said skinny eyebrows like circa 2007 were coming back and low rise jeans were coming back. And there was so much panic, I think, my friend group, you know, all people in their early 30s. And Stella Bugsby tweeted like, they're talking to teens, you guys. Like, this isn't for you. Like, you can wear what you want. You're not relevant anymore. You're basically, like, in a funny way. She was like, you're basically invisible. Yeah. You don't have to have skinny eyebrows anymore. And it made me realize that the way that, like, we all thought, like, our moms dressed, like, so lame when we were kids because, like, my mom wasn't wearing, like, a low-rise jean and, like, a tube top. She probably just thought we looked stupid. So now it's our turn to be like, you guys have no idea. High-waisted jeans? Yeah. Amazing. So, Nadia, tell me about you. I know you love shopping. We have this in common. You were toggling between two different products that you kind of started using in a routine during the pandemic. I said, who cares? It's my show. Bring both. What did you bring? Tell us everything.
I am so excited to share these products. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard about them, but I feel like I need to share my personal experience.
100%.
Like personal true life testimonial here. So the pandemic, I think for me, obviously very complex period of time, but one of the things that was very good for me is that I feel like my body rested in a lot of ways and things that I was doing to myself all the time, I stopped doing. Like I stopped painting my nails. You literally could have never met me for the previous 10 years of my life without a manicure.
Yeah.
I stopped wearing mascara. I stopped treating my hair, like all these things just like stopped. And I thought, you know what, like, this is like a good time for me to figure out like how to actually like fundamentally make these things better. Like what should I be doing to like improve the core health and not just like the aesthetic appearance of some of these things? And a couple of things came on my radar. One was very, very fascinating, truly serendipitous. A friend of mine's grandmother fell. She's doing well, but she fell and broke her hip at the beginning of 2020. And part of her healing, like recommendations from the doctor, were for her to start taking collagen. And like a month later, my friend said that like they went to see her grandmother, and her grandmother looked like she was 20 years younger. Like her skin texture had changed. It was like crazy. And they're like, what is happening? Like, what have you done? My friend's like in our 30s. And, you know, like, of course, we're already thinking about anti-aging and like all this kind of stuff. And she said it was the collagen. And I had seen collagen on like every influencer's page for like 2 years. And I've never gotten on board. It just seemed weird. If you actually like read what the ingredients are of collagen, it's gross. Like, I was like, not for me. But after I heard the story, I was like, okay, like I will put collagen in my coffee every morning for a while and see what happens. And I swear to you, like within the first week, my skin was different.
Okay. That is, so like, I'm with you. I looked at all those collagen Instagrams and I was like, bullshit, that's like a filter. You're wearing foundation. Like, there's no way. This seems like the most placebo of placebo effects. You're telling me to scoop this shit into my coffee and I'm going to look better.
I literally have it in front of me and I'm going to read you the ingredients so you know how disgusting it is and therefore like how much this product works, or else why in the world would I eat this junk?
And I just want everyone to know too, like, I'm looking at Natty right now. Incredible skin, like like so good. So I'm listening closely. Okay, read me the ingredients. Okay,
this I'm has ready. Egg. I think it's like eggshell.
Hell yeah.
Haddock, cod, and pollock. Like, this is literally like fish bones ground up. Like, it is disgusting, and it's tasteless. Like, you don't actually taste anything. But like, I promise you that I would never actually use this product if I didn't see the results. Like, 4 days later, the texture of my skin was different on my face. And I was like, wow, like, that's really weird. Like, how did that happen so fast? What is going on? And then like the kicker was, a couple days later, I got out of the shower and I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. I looked down at my legs and the texture of the skin on my thighs was different. Like, whoa. My legs were smooth. It was so bizarre. Two of my other best friends started doing this too. And there's like a series of like very bizarre photo, like in my photo roll, there's like a series of times in July, like photos of my thighs and face, because I was like, guys, what is happening?
Wow.
Like, this is absurd. But truly, I think it's also helped my my nails a ton too. I can't tell you for sure that the fact that my nails are really healthy right now are just from that, because I also stopped painting my nails during COVID.
That'll do it.
But my skin, I am completely converted. I am a believer. I have had a scoop in my coffee.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
What specifically changed? When you look down at your, what did your skin on your thighs used to look like versus like what was the difference that you saw?
It was like airbrushed. Like, I don't know how to describe it to you. Like, it wasn't like, it was just like smooth. And nice. I was like, that's so weird. And it was noticeable. Like, I looked down one day and I was like, whose legs are these? Like, what is going on here?
Wow.
And it's sustained. Like, I haven't stopped using it. So I don't know if I stopped, if like things would go back to, what was like my normal state before. But, and I got so many compliments. Like, obviously didn't see many people last year, but anytime I saw someone, they're like, oh, wow, like, you look so great. What have you been doing?
Dang.
And I'm like, nothing. I've been drinking collagen in my coffee. Yeah.
I know.
Which is literally like the lowest effort,
I'm in.
That I could possibly do.
I love a low effort. I'm really in for that. I know that there, because you know, G-Thanks is a sister podcast to Forever 35, and I know there are a lot of Forever 35 listeners here. A lot of them who have been on board the college and trained for a long time. I see you. I recognize you. I know you're probably listening, being like, "You guys, it was real the whole time." But I truly,
I'm late to the party.
I am too. I just didn't really. I don't know. Like, for me, part of me is like, if I become one of those people who's spooning collagen into their coffee in the morning, like, I don't recognize that version of myself. You know, am I someone who puts is it true? Like, you have to be honest, like 100% honest with me. Is it truly tasteless? Is it truly tasteless?
How do you take your coffee? I put cream in my, like, I put half and half in my coffee. So I feel like there's a lot that you could sneak into my coffee and I wouldn't. If I drank my coffee black, I can't promise that it's tasteless.
I'm milk and sugar with a little bit of coffee. So I think I should be okay.
You won't taste it. Okay. You won't taste it.
And how much do you put in a day?
Like, you really have to, like, it comes a little scooper.
Oh, okay.
So it's like kind of like a coffee scooper.
Yep.
And the only thing is, like, you have to as much of it dissolves as possible, like when the coffee's still really hot. And then sometimes if I let my coffee cool too much before I finish drinking it, like the last like swig of coffee is a little chalky.
Okay. I can deal with that. I can handle that. And I appreciate the honesty, because that, I mean, I am classic, like, drink half my coffee, leave it somewhere, find it later. And I'm like, oh yeah, this thing. But yeah. I would probably have to drink the whole cup for this to be actually efficient, because then I would be leaving a lot on the table. Do you do the Vital? Is it the Vital Protein, whatever it's called? What's the brand that you're using?
I use one called Ancient Nutrition.
Okay.
And they have like flavored versions of it, but I want my coffee to taste like coffee. So yes. I don't do like vanilla or any of that stuff.
Okay.
So I just, this is like unflavored.
Okay, I will look into this. I'm looking right now, like the Vital Protein. Sometimes they sell those at like Costco. It has like almost 100,000, like 4.5 to 5 star reviews on Amazon. Somehow for me, that's not good enough. Like, I'm like, no, it couldn't. or also maybe it's a complex where I'm like, it's good enough for everyone else, but it won't work for me. But I want new thigh skin. I want that improvement.
It's so weird. Like, I wanted to share like the fact that I was a skeptic of this for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I believe in like drinking a lot of water and getting a good night's sleep. But like outside of that, I feel like there are very few shortcuts in life.
Mm.
And this is just one of them.
I love this one. I love this one because this is one that I'm so like, I think I would have felt differently if you came as like, I have been scooping collagen into my coffee since birth. I've never skipped a day. I'd be like, I don't know. But if you're really like, I was a skeptic, I got on board, and now I actually see a difference, that's good enough for me. I love that.
This is the only product that I have that Subscribe and Save on Amazon.
Huge.
It's there every 2 to 3 months.
Subscribe and Save for me is feels like such a huge commitment that I have nothing on there except for laundry detergent. So like the fact that I
can't even commit to a laundry detergent. I'm like, what if I want a different scent next time?
I don't know.
Or like this is like the one thing that I have. I have one Subscribe and Save on Amazon.
That feels promising to me for sure. I really, and I appreciate that. You also got such a nice, to do it during the pandemic is smart, because it's like there's so few variables happening around. Like you said, you're not wearing makeup that much. You're not painting your nails. You're not going places. Like the kind of external stress of living in the world beyond like being alive during this time sort of fades away, because you're really kind of just sitting still for a year. So you really probably saw the benefits of it maybe clearer than you would have had life been moving at a faster pace.
Yeah, it was fast too. Wow. Like it was like in the first week, I remember looking at my pace one day and saying like, whoa,
yeah.
Like I can see the difference.
Oh, I am tempted. Anyways,
highly recommend.
Do you know how much it costs to not do subscribe? And like, are you actually saving on the subscription?
I mean, the subscribe and save saves you like 10%. So it's $40 for this, like the large, I buy the largest one because it's the cheapest way to buy it. And this, like the largest container lasts me like 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And it costs $40. So like on a monthly basis, it's not expensive.
That's amazing. Has it replaced any of, has the changes that it's made replaced any of your normal sort of skincare routine, like expensive lotions? Maybe, I don't know if you do Botox or if you were doing any sort of like has it, do you feel like other things are now not necessary because of the introduction of collagen?
I mean, I think to your point, like I haven't had a lot of reasons to like actually get made up and go somewhere. So like, I don't know if I were to actually go out, if I would, but I used to wear like the one skin product that I used to use is like the Laura Mercier tinted moisturizer.
Love it.
And I wouldn't, like, I haven't pulled that out of my,
wow.
I should probably throw it away. Like it's been sitting in there for 15 months. So like I've had no, like I've had no moment where I'm like, oh, I could use a little bit of coverage today.
Wow.
And nothing.
That is okay. I mean, I am sold. I'm really excited. I can't wait to like text you pictures of my thighs. like coming right up. That is awesome. Okay, we will link to that in the show notes. And then you had another product that you said you were very excited about.
Okay, so also crazy results for me. So I want to share. It's Grande Lash, which I know also is a cult favorite.
Yes.
So I haven't like discovered something new here. But I was the girl that was like at my dermatologist's office in 2008 asking for a Latisse prescription.
Uh-huh.
Like I love the idea of having, and also in, you know, in those days, false eyelashes were like not a thing. So like, I love the idea of just like having eyelashes that made it look like I had more makeup on than I really did.
Yep.
And I like Latisse, like I wear glasses every day and Latisse, one of the moments where I realized Latisse was working was that my eyelashes started like hitting the inside of my glasses.
Yes.
Because they had gotten so long, but this works better. It really does.
And it's like half the price.
It's half the price. And you don't need a prescription. I don't know if you still need a prescription for Latisse, but in New York State, at least you used to.
Yep. I remember that. It used to be this like, I guess like maybe either the exclusivity on like the patent wore out or whatever, but all of a sudden it was like you can actually just, it's, I don't know what it is, like I don't know what Latisse like really is made up of, but like all of a sudden there was only one product on the market and then there were like 1,000 products on the market. It like suddenly became like like available, and people love Grande Lash.
Yeah, it's honestly, so the thing that I know from Grande Lash is that my eyelashes crisscross now.
Oh, you know what?
Like
our
like
connection isn't great right now. I wonder if, are you, can you hear me well on your end?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you perfectly.
Let's see.
Here, you want me to turn off my camera?
See if that works. I mean, sometimes that helps. Again, Apple really trying to get us to go to the Apple store after this. Okay, tell me again something you noticed about your eyelashes.
So I noticed, like one of the first moments where I was like, wow, like something has really changed my eyelashes is that my eyelashes started crisscrossing.
Huh.
Like they were long enough that they were like,
they were like braiding themselves,
overlapping one another. Yeah. And it was like super weird, but I'll also tell you, because I've been on like a clean beauty kick, that when this started working so well, I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
Is this something that's going to like make my eyeballs like turn green one day or something? Mm. Like how bad is this for you? And I downloaded this app called Think Dirty. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's like an app that basically rates the ingredients of a ton. They have something like 1.8 million products.
Oh, wow.
And it tells you like how toxic the ingredients are in everything from like skincare to like house cleaning products and everything in between.
Smart.
And so I looked up Grande Lash on Think Dirty, and they had it, and they have like every ingredient rated, and it's not bad for you.
Oh,
so
okay.
They rate things on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the dirtiest, and like up to 3, it's like pristine, like glacial water type stuff. And then like between 4 and 6 is like, okay. And above 6 is like, you know,
don't put this on your face.
Killing your future babies by, you know, by using this product.
Right.
And Grande Lash is a 4. So it's like,
oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
That is really good. That was always the thing that freaked me out when I used Latisse was like, you know, like as I was putting it on, I was like, wow, I have a lot of balls. Like I'm just putting something on my eye. Like very close to my eye. This could end badly. I mean, you know, the journey towards longer, fuller lashes was more important to me than, you know, potentially ruining my eyesight forever. But look, it's mind over matter.
Right? Like we went through the whole little tiny bottle of Latisse.
Yeah. I mean, truly. But, yeah. I wear glasses too. And I find that I hate wearing mascara because I feel like it always ends up all over my face. And when I really start committing to a Latisse routine, or now maybe I will switch to Grande Lash. I know I probably should because of the money. I do look more awake. I look more alert because your eyelashes are fuller and you don't have to have mascara. Do you also curl your lashes?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of afraid of an eyelash curler.
Yeah, I never... Like it was always just weird to me and I just never got into it.
I this is inspiring me to get back into my eyelash routine. For some reason, it was one of the things I stopped kind of during the pandemic. But now I'm like, maybe I want to do it again. And I know that it doesn't take long. It's like in a month, I'll see like a big difference. But it's all about that consistency.
And honestly, I never did false eyelashes either because I was always afraid that like they're all gonna, you know, when I stopped doing it, I was gonna realize that I had no real eyelashes left in my eyeballs.
Yep.
And this to me, it's not like a full falsies look, but it gets pretty close, and it's my actual eyelashes, so I feel like I haven't
kind
of damaged my eyelashes.
It feels like, I mean, it looks like you're wearing mascara. I mean, that's what it looks like, you know, for a big event or if you were starring on Broadway and people all the way in the back needed to see you, you probably would still need to wear false eyelashes. But like, it really does kind of just like, I don't know, it just accentuates what you already have, builds on it.
Yeah.
And I felt like for me too, it also made my lashes like darker, like a little bit more pronounced. And maybe that's just because there were more of them. And
I think that there are more of them.
Yeah, the fullness.
Like, I think it's like not just length. It's like the fullness of them. Exactly.
Yeah. This is a question I have for you because you and I are on similar, like not doing anything during the pandemic journeys, sort of like resetting. Have you done anything like what's your eyebrow routine? And have you made any changes to that? And like, what's your plan? I haven't touched my eyebrows in like a year and a half.
Okay. So, true story, I also use Grande Brow because Grande Brow is just as good as Grande Lash. But I figured I had to pick one, so I brought Grande Lash.
So you can't use one on the other, is what you're telling me?
I don't know if that's just marketing, but because Grande Lash like actually goes on my eyeball, I didn't ask about it.
Okay.
Like I trust them that they should be different. And I should probably like look and see if the ingredients are actually any different, but if it's just marketing, it worked because they got me to buy both. And so far, so good. So I don't mind the investment.
Is it the same? So Grande Brow, do they have, is it the same kind of like tip or is it like a spoolie thing? Like how do you apply Grande Brow?
So it's the exact same packaging, but the actual tip of the applicator is thicker.
Oh.
So like, you know, like if you did nail art, there's like sometimes the nail polish that has like the really fine tip.
Yes.
That's what the lash product has. And then the brow product, you know, is like meant for like a bigger surface area. So it's like a bigger brush.
I am like, this is exciting to me. And you really feel like you see a huge difference. How long did it take before you like woke up and looked in the mirror one morning and was like, oh, wow. Like, hello, eyebrows.
I feel like eyebrows took longer than the lashes. Like the lashes showed up much more quickly. Definitely my eyebrows are fuller than they were. One of my best friends was on this eyelash eyebrow journey with me and her eyebrows, I'm not kidding you, tripled in size. Like it was,
I love that.
It was bananas. And it's like, it's actually crazy how much, like your eyebrows do so much to frame your face that any change in your eyebrows changes how you look so quickly that she looks like a different person. But anyways, both these products, if you're looking for ways to grow your eyelashes or your eyebrows, I've had great success with both these products.
That is that's such a good endorsement. And it just made me remember this time when my friend and I saw a picture of someone we knew, and a picture of her from maybe 10 years ago, like, popped up on Instagram or whatever. And we were like, I think she got work done. Like, did she get a note? Like, did, like, something is different about her. I can't tell. Like, she's our age, so it feels like it's too young to get work. But, like, something looks so different. And after, like, a half hour of trying to be like, what is it? It was her eyebrows. Like, mm-hmm. she changed the shape and the size and sort of, like, the style of her eyebrows. And it literally made it, like,
it changed everything.
Another face. We were like, did she get an eye lift? Yeah. Did she get a nose job? Did she get chin implants? She literally changed her eyebrows. And, like, look, you know, I, like, you do you, whatever you have to do to feel more confident, like, more like yourself or whatever. But I was shocked. I've spent the better half of the last decade growing back the mistakes of 2007, of waxing my eyebrows to tiny sperm over my eyes. But now I'm like, after seeing that and seeing, like, just kind of that proof that, like, what I was looking at was actual, like, the real life example of, like, your brow shape really changing mm-hmm. how your face presents. I was like, okay, I'm ready to, like, now I have my brows are back. Now I'm ready to go deal with, I'll go to someone really professional who knows what they're doing and get them to, like, shape them to my face, because that was, like, inspiring to totally. Me. That's another thing where I'm like,
have
that's
you ever
just...
considered microblading?
So I have, but I'm a little nervous. Do they wax? Like, how does that, do you know how it works? Like, can you explain it to me?
I've never tried it, but I am fat. Refinery29 does these videos of, like, slow motion microblading.
Ooh.
That it's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the results always look amazing. I don't know what happens, like, if it fades over time or exactly how it works, but I feel like when I see people doing it, it's definitely painful from what I can tell. Like, they're really kind of, like, scraping holes into your eyebrows and putting ink in it, but so I've never done it. I've never had the stomach to go through with it, but it feels like another thing that people, like, once you start doing that, people love it.
Yeah, I believe it, and I know people who are, like, so committed to that. You know, like, they have their monthly appointment. It's kind of like people who, like, are just like, I gotta, you know, bikini wax, like, religiously, like, every X weeks I do this. And I think people are kind of like that with their brows and they're microblading, and, like, and they're, like, eyelash extensions is another thing that I think people do a lot. Microblading scares me. I almost feel like I have too much eyebrow. Like, I have darker features. Like, I need someone to, like, I know I need less eyebrow, but I'm so scarred by my past choices that I'm like, I need to go to someone. Like, I will pay top dollar just to make sure that I don't walk out of the salon, like, and reverse the clock 13 years, because yeah. It's a little scary. I mean, and I'm just lucky, like, mine grew back. Some people never got their return.
I know. You know what's, like, a random great place to get your eyebrow shaped?
Tell me.
Benefit cosmetic stores.
I have heard this. Are they good?
They're fantastic. Like, huh. Benefit is, like, such a brow brand.
Yeah.
And they, like, here in New York, there's a store in Soho, and it's, like, the shaping services there are really, really good.
Nice. And it's, like, probably a little bit more affordable than going to some, like, I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, they want to sell you product.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to be like, this is $50, but you can get everything for $400. I will have to try. I feel like it's time. I mean, I really haven't touched my brows in probably more than a year. Actually, I can tell you, on my wedding day, you know how, like, people have those, like, nervous dreams, like, oh, I dreamt that, like, it was my wedding day and I forgot my dress, or, like, I didn't, you know, I didn't realize it was, I didn't shave my legs or whatever. I never got my eyebrows waxed. It was, like, on my to-do list. I forgot about it. And as I was, like, halfway through the reception, I was like, shit. I forgot. And it didn't matter because it was fine. But like, that's how little, like, I have signed off from my eyebrows, like, in a yeah. real effort to repair my mistakes. Yeah. And I'm very reticent to, like, do anything to them because, like, you know, I don't know what to tell them that I want. I need someone to look at me and be like, this is what we're doing and trust me. Because if you go by my direction, we're back at the sperm. We're right back where we started in 2007. I'm very excited about all of the things you brought. I'm mostly excited about the collagen. Like, I am really excited about that.
Tell me if you try it, tell me how it goes.
100%. I mean, you're going to hear from me. I'm going to, like, give you, like, a picture every day. Like, you're going to be like, I'm blocking her email. I can't wait to try it. And you said you buy, like, a value pack. Like, did you start off with, like, a smaller container just in case it didn't work? Or is the only option to buy, like, the 4-month supply?
No, they have much smaller ones. I bought the smaller one first because I also, like, nothing would make me sadder than ruining my coffee every day. Like, there was no way that I was going to, like, do something that was going to make,
yes,
like, the thing that I, like, the first thought in my head in the morning is like, I can have coffee now.
Yes.
So I was not going to commit to anything that was going to take away from that ritual.
Yeah.
And so I got the smaller one. They even sell, like, individual packets if you want to start really small. And then, like, once I realized that, like, I am on the collagen train, I, like, just optimized for costs and got the biggest one, and that saves me a lot of money. But I definitely tried the smaller one first.
Right. Now you're on subscribe and save. I'm glad to know that there's like a little, like, I can just dip my toe in for a second. I think I'll probably, I just have the personality type that's like, oh, the 5-year supply is a little bit less expensive. I'll just buy that. I should just try it first. Like, I need to, you know, I'm really Costco minded in my shopping. Nadia, I'm so excited that you came on the show. This was such an amazing conversation, and I'm really, really glad we got to talk.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
It was great. You guys, I will link to everything we talked about, all of the lash, the eyebrow, the collagen, Anomaly, where I got my wedding dress, like, everything. Like, we really ran the spectrum during this episode. But I also hope that you guys go and check out Dia & Co. Exclusively sizes 10 to 32, really, like, clothing, you know, designed and also curated for, like, the average woman. And especially if bathing suit shopping gives you agita, especially if you've been in the G-Thanks Facebook group asking about bathing suits, I'm on the G&Co website right now looking at all of their swimsuit offerings. It is just so many great ones. And I will also link to the one that I have on that I'm really excited about. But I am now just trying to rush order a bunch before I leave for vacation. What a great conversation. And thank you so much for all the work that you're doing at the forefront of this sort of new movement to have, you know, size inclusivity be the standard and not like some, you know, great PR motive.
Thank you. I've listened to so many of your podcasts that are specifically focused around size inclusivity. And I think that it's a topic that we should all be spending more time talking about and normalizing and celebrating, and really getting to a place where we can all just focus on wearing the clothes that we love.
Yeah, absolutely. The second we can all just find jeans and bathing suits that fit us, the quicker we can take down men. I mean, really, like, it's all over for them now that we can make room in our brains. I am so, so happy we got to have this conversation. You guys, please let me know if you guys buy anything from Dia & Co. Shout out, especially the suits. I want to know what you're all buying. And we will see you next week for another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It.